You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerd Bliss is intended for a mature audience.
We begin episode 142 with the return of Outtakes. I would love it if our other Con Carolina host can join. Our other Nerd Bliss. Can I start over? Are we just going to keep rolling? Okay. I would love it if our other Nerd Bliss host could make it. I'm sorry, what, Eric?
I was saying take two, and now take three, click.
One day we will live stream. We will live stream these recording sessions.
But today is not that day.
Yes. I don't have my makeup on.
We'll have to do makeup?
Yes. Yes, you will. No, not really.
When you are trying to make prophecies happen, you fuck up people's right. lives.
Right, yes. Yes.
Because, like, I don't... Those end time prophecies that...
That was one hell of a recovery, Bettina.
No. That's what I'm trying to express.
He was going there the whole time.
Like, fuck your end time prophecies. Fuck the Book of Revelation. I will die. I'm happy to die on that hill.
Right.
That is not a problem.
And not to dismiss anything you're saying, because you're saying wonderful, valid things, but I may have what you're drinking.
Ready.
Where is now online.
Where are we?
This is the power.
We have got 7. Why?
Someone who tried to kill you. You tried to kill him right back.
This is the way.
And that's just the stuff that didn't make it in. Are you sure you want to do this? Welcome to episode 142 of Nerd Bliss. Just a quick announcement before we get started. Sometime in late June, early July, we are going to have our good friends from the Fall Horsemen join us for an episode here. We're going to be talking about Halloween and horror and just all things fall. And I know you're going to enjoy that. Our good friends James and Jessica Moser, they've been on the show before. We've been to their Halloween party, so they are certainly Nerd Bliss royalty. No date set for that just yet, but we're looking at late June, early July. You don't want to miss that. All right, so this is just kind of one of our mishmash, talk about what we want to episodes. Our topics include The Bad Batch, Tig Notaro, Army of the Dead, Returning to Cons, The Orville and Seth MacFarlane, The Boondock, Space Jam, and Billy Porter, and more. So without any further ado, episode 142 of Nerd Bliss.
Course navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, listeners, all 8 of you. So nice to be back. So nice.
There might be more than 8 of you, but we can only confirm, you know, the ones who respond to contact and let us know. But hey, we still love you, even if you don't contact us or run our promo. So how about that Bad Batch, huh? Those genetically defective clones, boy, I tell you.
Indeed.
Yeah, just strip them down for parts when you have a bad batch. Just get your seam ripper out and start over.
I needs me a bad batch. Timura something. I forget his last name.
Timura Morrison.
But yeah, he's from New Zealand. And he was Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones. And then they retconned Boba Fett, everything after that, to sound like...
Yeah, if I'm hearing that correctly, the kid didn't sound enough like the big one to them, so that they voiced him over or something? Is that what happened?
I don't know. I don't know. They Jake Lloyded him, essentially.
Yeah. You're talking about the following movie. Okay. Oh, that must have hurt.
Are we going to call it Tignataroing someone now? When you wipe someone's existence from a film by carefully walking in the same motion that they did in the original, so you can green them out.
Laser Tig. So what we're referring to, Eric, are you familiar with at all with what we're going at, what we're laying down here? Tignataro?
I picked up Laser Tag, Tig.
The joke was on point. I have no doubt that that one landed. There's a movie out.
I'll take your word for it.
On Netflix now. It came out Friday called Army of the Dead. And it's got a limited theatrical release.
Okay.
But one of our favorite actors is in it. Her name is Tignataro. She's a comedian. She started out as a stand-up. And what happened was the person they had cast in that movie for that part I don't know if he got Me Too'd he got in some kind of sexual harassment trouble. So they went in and digitally replaced him with Tignataro.
And it, by the way, for anybody that might be like, oh, that's so bad when that happens, it was Chris D'Elia, and he was doing something that unfortunately comics tend to have a habit of. It's like using Twitter to like meet and groom young women, because I'm sorry, if you're a fucking middle-aged stand-up comic, even if she's in her early 20s, stay out of her fucking DMs. So I think when that happens, we should legitimately just replace all your work with women in comfortable shoes.
Yeah. I do like that metaphor. Thank you, Robin Williams.
It just killed me that Tig was on Stephen Colbert. Go look it up on YouTube. It was great. But they had a shot from Herbie, and she basically spent a few weeks on green screen with like Zack Snyder and a handful of other people recreating the Sex Pests role, right? And they had this panned out shot of her that she was in this, like, she's the badass, doesn't give a shit helicopter pilot, right? But she's wearing like plasticky Birkenstocks with the rest of the gear. And, you know, Colbert's like, that ruins the image. And she made a joke about lesbians in comfortable shoes because, duh. And he was just completely clueless.
That was a good interview, because she was clearly in a hotel room. Like, you see the door in the background with the little sign there with the emergency exit shit on it. And she's acting like she's, because they were talking about the clip that they saw. She's like, well, and she was turning to the side to look away from the camera like, do we have that other clip? And Colbert was like, you're in that room by yourself, Tig. There's nobody else there. It's like, yeah.
Well, she said she was in Toronto for Star Trek Discovery, which, I mean, I'd heard of Tig and heard some interviews with her before Star Trek Discovery, but her character in that show is amazing. Jet Reno is deep, deep Star Trek to me, in that she's an engineer, but she very much has the Bones attitude, which I always appreciate.
We did not get, in my opinion, nearly enough of her in seasons 2 and 3, but she's there and she does show up. So yeah, we do love us some Star Trek Discovery, as we have said.
Well, I don't think she's like wanting to be like a main cast member, even if they wanted her to, like, cause she has a whole nother career. So
this whole notion of talking to people is going to be it's going to be new again for all of us. We've got a convention coming up, not next weekend, but the weekend after. That is sneaking up on us faster. Yes, Tina and I will be at Con Carolinas. I would love it if our other Nerdless host could make it, but I understand. We are still in a pandemic, and cons cost money. But I think we're going to meet some friends there. I think we're going to meet our good friend, Bessie. I don't know if I've mentioned, I think I've mentioned Bessie on the podcast a time or two. I want to take a moment, to send some very special, love and respect out, to Bessie. And the reason I want to do that is, guys, we work really hard on this podcast. I work hard to get it edited, to get it published. And, so yeah, it means a lot to me. The folks that take the time to listen and respond to the podcast, that means a lot to me. Bessie, when she found out that our podcast was on Spotify, did I mention our podcast was on Spotify? Yes, search for Nerd Bliss, one word. She went as far back as the letter, which was, I think, something like episode 40, 50-ish. And she listened to every single episode on Spotify until she caught up. And she talked to me about the content, and I felt seen. So, thank you, Bessie. We love you. We love you dearly. And we're going to see you.
We are
at Con Carolinas.
We are so excited to see Bessie, and I think even Sugar is excited, and she doesn't like people at all.
She's going to like you, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, she's got that sugar glider experience.
That's true.
Yeah. So she's gonna that, be she's in that Carolinas exotic pet. Go ahead.
I said there is going to be a Con Carolinas this year.
There better be. They took my money.
To some extent or another.
It is going to be a hybrid event. There will be stuff on site. There will be stuff virtual. This is a let's try it out and see year for cons. We're going to Dragon Con as well. Still got to get our memberships for that. But yeah, we're going to Dragon Con, and we are apparently going to Muncie again the following weekend. Oh God.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Beer-powered Time Machine Fest 3. Yes.
We're going to be tired as hell, but God damn it, the Friday after Dragon Con, we're going to be driving 12,000 hours to Muncie, Indiana. And seeing Mikey Mason and all our friends up there again for BPTM3. But yeah, it's going to be great.
I mean, honestly, not traveling and not, I mean, not that we're like, I don't feel like it's so much travel. Most of our trips are like event based, and like seeing people we care about based. That is something I really, really value. And like, I feel just having those dates filled on the calendar to say I have something to look forward to has been like, I feel alive and like a person. And it's not just the big things like, you know, the big events and stuff, even getting together with friends locally and people I care about in the last few weeks is really just like this is what being alive is. And we're so lucky to have been able to be out of the public. But I think like taking the opportunity and gratitude to like go back into post-pandemic life. And I know we talked about the pandemic last time, but fuck it. It was like a crazy, crazy ass, 15 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, what do I want my life to look like? Cause I have several hours free a day that I didn't have cause we're not commuting. You know, we're choosing to still have most of our groceries delivered. So that frees up time and energy. Who do I want to see? What do I want to fill my life with? And definitely cons and not just cons, but like seeing people that have, you know, even just kept in touch online and renewing those friendships is just really special.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Indeed. I am looking forward to the whole con experience. Once again, that is to say, the con experience without walking around inside of a little plastic bubble to keep you protected from everybody who comes in or doesn't vaccinate, or anti-vaxxers, whatever you want to call them. And yeah, and hopefully before the next one comes around, maybe my lottery numbers will come in and I can treat everybody. That is one goal of mine, to be able to treat everybody to the presidential suite experience at a Dragon Con or a con of some kind.
Well, I'll take you up on that.
Okay with that.
You know what? Just the regular whatever hotel room we can book is great.
I mean, it feels like the presidential right. suite to my bank account, just saying. But no, appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. Pretty sure Dragon Con's still going to be crowded.
Yeah, and I mean, especially Dragon Con in the hotels and in the Habit Trails. I don't care. I'm probably masking forever because it is really stupid to get con crud when we know how to not get con crud.
I am content at this point, based on the level of intelligence and apathy that I'm seeing amongst the American people. I am content to wear a mask in public for the rest of my life. Fuck all y'all.
Well, I mean, people choose or are forced by their employers to, like, work sick, go out sick, you are risking my health even and my quality of life, even just giving me a regular head cold. I don't want that. Not worth it.
Yep.
Now I get into a room with people I care about and I'm vaccinated from the coronavirus and I, you know, have a good faith understanding of those people's, you know, willingness to not purposefully pass along something and they're important to me, I will not mask. That's different. Mm-hmm. I go to a weekly meetup that is now back in person, thankfully, and I don't necessarily feel the need to mask. And I get hugs. Holy shit. Hugs.
Yeah, we started getting hugs for the first time within the last 2 weeks, and that was, well, of course, Tia and I hug each other all the time. Yeah. We live in the same house, y'all. But yeah, beyond that, we were so happy to start getting hugs again.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one would think that folks would learn from people like us who go to the cons how to prepare for something like, you know, a coronavirus. Not that necessarily it's going to prevent anything, but, you know, load up on your seat, load up on your zinc, keep it up, and, you know, for however long it might take, at least, you know, boost your immunity or at least give yourself a chance.
Well,
with some sort of preventive measure.
For a common cold, that's great. People were saying that that's all you needed for coronavirus. And we're like, y'all, you don't understand. This thing has killed over 250,000 people. Is it, or is it 500,000 by now?
When we were really trying to not get it, like a lot of people were really trying to not get it. And that many people died.
If I understand correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, the coronavirus that we've been dealing with over the last year is more or less the common cold on steroids, right?
It's kin.
I think the virus is kind of similar in structure, but it's just like ramped up.
I don't know. I am not qualified to say.
What we could think of as the common cold is a coronavirus, yes. Like the when you because all the news reports have the little like zoomed in like 3D animated coronavirus with the spikes, the little crowns. Mm-hmm. That is what the common cold is as well. Thank you, Bill Nye, and your podcast for keeping me up to date.
The ones that look like meatwad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do what now?
they look like a mace from Dungeons and Dragons. all my D&D folks out there. What up?
More positive than a New Day pancake. More fun than a super kick party. It's the wrestling podcast from the host, who is the hammer swinging, burrito eating, well, you know the rest, of Thunder Talk. Sexy Thor! It's the Ring of Thunder, found in the Thunderverse and among the great podcasts of the ESO Network.
I'm Lifelong Ensign Charles Kelso.
I'm Federation Envoy Keith Johnson.
I'm Ferengi Counselor Veronica Dashiell.
And I'm Andorian Mess Hall Cook R. Alan Seiler.
And we're the crew of Earth Station Trek. Join us for
episode reviews,
discussions of themes and characters,
and all the news from across the Trekverse.
Our logs cover the full gamut of Star Trek.
From the groundbreaking original series
to the future of the franchise on Paramount Plus,
with lots of stops in between.
Join our crew aboard Earth Station Trek for your regular podcast escape into the Trekverse.
Go bald or go home!
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory. Hello, everyone. Dr. Geek here with a shout-out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
So how about that Orville show? You mean the Star Trek we really wanted? That's gotten canceled after the third season, which hasn't even aired yet?
Really? I didn't hear anything about that.
Sorry. I like the Orville.
I like the Orville, really like but the Orville. It's not Star Trek. It's the Orville.
I am going to give the Star Trek Discovery haters grief ad infinitum for that. Yeah.
You're free to not like it.
Yeah.
But, like, just say, this is not my cup of tea, I'm going to move along.
It's like, you know, and even if the Orville was the Star Trek that you really wanted, you know, you don't get to say that this is the Star Trek that we really wanted. Clearly not, because it's been a moneymaker for CBS and CBS All Access, now Paramount Plus.
Even if I thought that the Orville was basically Star Trek with hookers and flow, I'm greedy. I would still want the other Star Treks we're getting.
Yeah. I have no, yeah. I mean, I enjoy the Orville. I don't hate the Orville. My beef is mainly with the Discovery haters. I'm sad to see the Orville going. I'm sorry it did not get the ratings that to keep itself going. I stopped just short of saying the ratings they deserve, because all shows get the ratings they deserve if you think about it.
Indeed. Well, and I mean, I'm okay with Seth MacFarlane. I think he has good intent, but there are valid criticisms of how he chooses to joke about certain marginalized groups.
Seth MacFarlane registers on the woke scale, but he's not as far up as others. We'll put it that way.
Well, I mean, especially like the whole Quagmire's dad transitioning was not handled well. Not handled well at all.
And another something that somebody else said, and it was a valid point. Family Guy had faked a little graphic at the bottom where they advertise the next show, where they bring it up just in a little ribbon on the bottom.
Oh yeah.
And it was for The Simpsons, and it was Marge Simpson was down there at the bottom of the screen waving. And Quagmire apparently ran up and forcefully, you know, grabbed her, and we're led to believe that he had his way with her. And it was supposed to be funny. I can see why, to a lot of people, that wouldn't be funny. So it's what it is.
Yeah, you can joke about anything, but who's the butt of that joke? It's not Quagmire. Quagmire has to be the butt of the joke, or it's not. You can't.
I mean, speaking of things that, you know, there's a lot of Quagmire stuff that I want to laugh at that, but I also know that it's kind of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time to mention that Tina and I are binge watching The Boondocks for the first time.
Ah, that is.
Talk about a show that we feel bad about laughing at. But it's designed to do that. Well, and yeah, we just need to use it as a learning experience.
Well, and I think it's a bit like Chappelle talking about why he quit the Chappelle show. Mm-hmm. I like to think that we're laughing with the characters that are suffering and not at the characters.
Well, Aaron Magruder and the cast are getting the laughs that they're after from us. And if they can, you know, impart some, you know, some social equity while they're doing it, more power to them.
Well, and I will have a lot more to say, too. I mean, I have plenty of shit. I always have stuff to say. We know this.
Yeah.
But I used to read Boondocks when it was a comic strip way back, and I had looked it up to get more, to like order some of the collections, because it's been a while. Like, I mean, do they even print newspapers anymore, let alone the funny pages? So it started in 99, which was the year I graduated high school. That really fucked me up. It ran, I want to say, until 2007 or 2008. But I mean, you got to understand, in 1999, Charles Schulz was still alive and Peanuts was on the same comic page. So because it has been so long, I'm really interested to see what, I mean, where you get from Boondocks, the comic strip that is safe for the newspaper mostly. There were definitely strips that did not make it in every paper.
Boondocks was in the Sunday Comics?
Oh, yeah. It was a comic strip for a long time.
I don't recall ever seeing that. Maybe it's just our, you know, geographic location, but
I mean, maybe, because I'm sure it would have pissed off some people in Greenville. But we'll have a couple collections within a week or two, depending on.
And I'm thinking about, and I realized that last week I made a big deal about, oh, we're going back to our old format. I'm definitely going to do a retrospective on the Boondocks. It probably will be a panel discussion and not a guest contributor type of thing. But yeah, we're definitely going to do that. I don't know how soon. If I can get some folks, if I can get a diverse panel to talk about it, we're going to do that.
And if somebody wants to buy some more Boondocks treasuries they're on my Amazon wish list, I'll send it to you.
Noted.
The big one is that has like commentary and interviews and stuff is like $40, because I think it's out of print. So
yeah, Eric, I think that was mostly aimed at us, but that's cool.
No. Literally, if the listeners would like to buy shit off my wish list,
okay,
they are more than welcome.
I would love it if the listeners bought stuff off your wish list. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll put a link to that.
Should put a link to that on our homepage and link this to our Nerdblish wish list.
It would be kind of embarrassing because I put shit on there that I'm probably the only one that's going to buy it for me. And right now, as we talked about recently, Yeah, there's a lot of fucking Barbies on that list.
You know what? I just had an idea. I'm going to create an Amazon wish list, a separate list from my main wish list. And I'm going to put a link to it in show notes, certainly on this episode, possibly on others as well. And I'm just going to see who clicks on it, who responds to it, because I'm going to put stuff on there. It's going to make them ask questions.
You do get data right about who goes to our little Amazon shopping page to buy stuff through our link. By the way, that helps us out, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe.
It doesn't give you who, because that would be a privacy thing, but it tells you what they bought.
From what I'm hearing from our ESO folks, Amazon changed their metrics on that so that it doesn't, it's not as big of a help as it used to be. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't help us. I would much rather people become patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdblisspod. Patreon's a good way to help us out because, well, I don't know. I kind of feel guilty about mentioning Patreon too, because I'm supposed to be putting Patreon content. And guys, I'm simply not finding the time to get it put up. But I'm going to find a way to do that. I'm going to give you some shit to pay for, and it'll be quality because I would not have it any other way.
Yeah. I'm wondering though, because like I'm a patron of several different entities out there on the interwebs. And I never, ever, ever do it for what I'm getting. It's always like, I really dig this creator. Like, I'm happy that they're putting out that podcast or put like that they do this little comic strip that comes up in my Facebook feed and I want to kick them a couple dollars a month. So I wonder, honestly, like how many people are like, where's my Patreon content?
Yeah, that's why I don't want to push more than the dollar a month level right now. Because a lot of people can spare that, those who can spare. And I make no assumptions. If you can't, you can't. And that's cool. But yeah, there's lots of artists out there that I pay $5 a month to. There's some that I pay $10. There's one that I pay $15 a month to because I want their work that badly.
Well, and that, well, you want what you get at the $15 level.
Exactly.
I'm saying like, I have one podcast I support at $10 a month and have, like, even before Patreon was a thing. And there was a phase that I went through where I was not listening to that podcast at all. It happens to be Mental Illness Happy Hour, and I was not in a place where I could listen to that podcast. So I will support Paul Gilmartin's work and what he does and the fact that, like, there's a lot of inappropriate humor and a lot of really deep conversations. So that's obviously my jam, whether or not I'm listening to it actively or not.
Well, and again, not to bring it down, any attention we can get to mental health awareness help. Yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into things I've experienced lately and observed, but yeah, we need that help. But yeah, Patreon, dollar a month. Nerdless podcast.
Yeah. Also, you know, giving a dollar a month so that the number of patrons actually helps in a weird way, both the mental health of the creators you're supporting and the algorithms on Patreon. So.
Yeah. If I haven't made this evident in this episode and in the past, it does me a tremendous world of good to see response and feedback. Because if I'm going to shoot straight with you, there have been plenty of times when I've put the work into this show and said, why am I doing this? Who even cares? And I'm not saying that for pity party. I'm saying that because I literally have no idea from week to week, day to day, who is listening, who likes it, who doesn't, who would have feedback for us that we can use. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't receive it.
Yeah. And I think that's partly the medium. I really do. Podcast listeners, do not engage. I do not engage with the, because of, I think of our hosts, I'm the only one that regularly listens to a bunch of podcasts. And I almost never send a message or do anything more than like liking the Facebook page.
Well, I think in theory, if we get to a place where we can do live streams, I think that is because that is instantly interactive. I think we're going to get a lot more, comparatively a lot more interaction doing that than this pre-recorded stuff that we're doing right now.
But, you know, sending our thoughts and feelings out into the void has its own joy.
Mm-hmm. It does.
We message can, in a bottle.
You can scream into the void. Yes. It's.
There's no law against it.
Nope.
Fucking scream.
That's right. I can scream into the void if I want to. I can fantasize about, you know, I'm not even going to go down that road. But you know what? I have that choice if I want to.
It's true.
What I'm saying.
And if your friends don't dance, they ain't no friends of mine.
Yep. Yep, yep.
They don't have to dance well.
Oh, no. No.
That's...
They don't have to dance well. They don't have to play basketball very well. Which is a perfect segue.
They don't have to act very well.
They don't have to act very well. Again, perfect segue. So we have what I'm presuming is a Space Jam reboot coming up. And I decided, you know, Tina hasn't seen it. And I put it on. It's on HBO Max. Yeah, amazing streaming service. Glad I finally got on board with that. I digress.
We thank watched you, Space Amy Jam. Sedaris.
Yes, thank you, Amy Sedaris. We love you. Yeah, and your pantyhose. Anyway. So I remember, just to tell you my Space Jam story. Was it 90? It was in the 90s. I know Tina's laughing. Like it's this big, you know, deep, important thing. I want to put like some serious music behind this now. My Space Jam story. Back when the movie came out, I saw it twice at the Bijou on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, South Carolina, no longer standing. And I remember seeing it twice in the theater. The second time I saw it, I was the only person in the auditorium. And the main takeaway I took from it was the music in that movie kicked ass on that theater sound system. It's that movie is definitely all about some music. It is not about good acting. I put it this way, Bugs and Daffy, much better actors than Michael Jordan. All I'm going to say.
Well, Bugs and Daffy have been doing it for like 70 years.
They're fucking immortals.
I was trying to remember, was Maurice LaMarche involved in that one?
I believe he was in some capacity. Yes, he was Pepe Le Pew, actually, now that you ask.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yes, he was.
For some reason, I have Yosemite Sam in my head. I thought he was in. Had that character at one point.
He may have been. I would have to look it up.
Google it.
But yeah, I just wanted to see it again, refresh my memory on the premise. Well, I knew mostly the premise, but I just wanted to remind myself, okay, how did we get to this point where we're playing basketball with aliens? What was the deal? And I remember, obviously, and Tina, again, had never seen it. I wanted to get her impressions of it. And I think your impressions were pretty much the same ones as mine.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that's kind of top of mind right now is the importance of going to a movie theater. It is the kind of movie that I would have liked better in a theater because it would have held my attention because I'm respectful of others. And honestly, like, we had a theater to ourselves recently, and I wouldn't have... Even if it was a less than awesome movie, it happened to be an awesome movie. One of my points in going to the theater is when I'm there, all I pay attention to is the movie. So Space Jam would have had my undivided attention And frankly, I'm not capable of giving Space Jam my undivided attention in my own living room.
Yeah, I get that. Now, it was Raya and the Last Dragon that we had it to ourselves. Am I right?
Yeah, it was like a Monday night, so that's why. But it's been sparse. Honestly, the Regal Unlimited plan is amazing for us because we're both people that really love to go to movies, not just see movies, watch movies, go to movies. Mm-hmm. And for $18 a month, like
we got on board with that right before the lockdown. And we had got a chance to take advantage of it some before it all locked down. But yeah, we are using the hell out of it now that theaters are open again, now that we're both vaccinated. And we're getting to see movies that we would normally not pay money to go see. Last night we saw Wrath of Man. That's the latest Guy Ritchie joint. And we wouldn't have paid money to go see that.
No.
But we loved it.
It was great. It was a great use of the time. It wouldn't have been the great use of like $12.50 each.
Right. And again, we got to see Ryan the Last Dragon. And what was the first one we went to see? I'm trying to remember now.
Godzilla versus King
Godzilla
Kong.
Godzilla versus Kong. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe I should edit that out. also got to see Godzilla versus Kong.
So for those of us who have not been to a movie theater in a minute, mm-hmm. How locked down are they still? I'm sure they're not full on business wise yet, but I'm sure they're not completely shut down either.
Still very, very. Now at our theater here, we are a suburb of the big city. If that makes a difference, but yeah, we have not seen a whole lot of people in the theater at once yet, right, since we got back into the swing of things. Now, as far as measure, they're still taking measures. They're still limiting your reserve seating. Like, they're putting buffers between the available seats.
Well, and what an awesome thing that the reserve seating system was already there. Like, the timing worked really well. And it's great on the, I don't want to, not sponsored by Regal. I'm sure the AMC version does this too. But when you can like friend someone else that's a unlimited member in the app, so I can book tickets for both of us and we get our seats, which I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I guarantee you if you're sitting in them, we will pick a different show.
Yep.
Savage.
We have very specific needs.
And it's I have thinking about this recently based on a conversation I had with a friend about like criteria for dating. Like, that should be one of them. Where do you want to sit in the movie theater? Because I'm not sitting in the back.
Yep.
Not doing it. Not climbing all those stairs. Don't want to be that far away from the screen.
Double savage.
Don't want to be right under it either.
Right. Yeah. In the modern theaters, it used to be I didn't mind the first couple rows, but they're so much closer than they used to be because you have that break. Mm-mm.
If anybody out there wants to give me bass lessons, give us a call at 864-715-9446. I'm still a rank beginner, but I feel like I'm good enough to probably fake my way through some songs. I just need a motivation to do that. And we're going to start the band, which is provisionally at this point called Nerd Blister, because I haven't come up with a better name. I have a whole list of names. I just haven't picked the one that I want.
No, he really has a whole list of names.
Yeah, I really do.
Like a whole list.
I put it up in the show notes, but I don't want y'all to see them because I don't want you to take them. Because some of those are going to be album names, too.
So you decided not to go with Sequestered Ponies or anything like that?
Mm, I don't think that was ever on the list, but I will tell you that one of them was Bogo Birdseed. That might end up being an album or an EP title.
I keep looking for stuff for you to try out, but it's.
Oh yeah,
I look at stuff and I said, "Oh, he's done." I've suggested that to him, or that's a little too fast, or it's a little too technical, or you know, whatever.
I am at no loss for songs to work on. Let me put it that way. There's still several that I focus on to want to play. I do Back in Black by AC/DC. Have You Seen the Rain by CCR. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. These are all songs that those are probably my strongest songs right now.
White Horse?
No.
Okay.
No, not on the radar. I want to say, and there's some that I had been working on and hadn't in a while. I was doing Yellow by Coldplay for a while because that one's pretty simple. There's several that I want to learn. Like, I want to do Midnight Rider by the Allman Brothers Band and The Gambler and, you know, just stuff. I enjoy playing.
Okay.
What was that about? Why did you go, oh, okay?
What?
I'm just curious. I'm not mad. I'm just curious why you said that.
Uh-huh. The Gambler?
Kenny Rogers?
No, wait. It was Kenny Rogers. I've got something else. I was thinking of Coward of the County that I absolutely cannot stand.
That one didn't age well.
But The Gambler's probably okay. Well.
It's still a little poignant. At
the time it came out, as I was listening to a particular station in Warner Robins, and they totally ran it into the ground. And I got so sick of hearing it.
They made a TV special out of it.
As radio stations tend to do.
They made a TV special out of it. They sure did.
Okay.
Just footnote. Oh, yeah, footnote.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, it was a popular
Coward
song.
Of the County?
Yeah, Coward of the County. Late 70s, early 80s. It got a,
okay.
got a special made out of it. The Gambler is timeless. The Gambler is one of the songs.
I know The Gambler got a whole slew of them.
The Gambler has a message that will never get old. Ever, 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 ever. And it, depending on the mood you're in when you're listening to it, it'll get you. But yeah, learn
I think I've
that.
Seen maybe, I think I've seen maybe about 15 or 20 seconds of one of those movies. I don't remember which one it was. It was a character played by Zelda Rubinstein, for those of you familiar with her. She was like the little short lady in Poltergeist movie, I think. But she's dressed up as this saloon girl or a dealer or something like that. And she makes this comment, "I will maintain order." And she lays this gun on the table. It's probably as big as she is.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar at all?
I guess that's The Gambler.
It's one of the Gambler movies, I think.
Yeah, they did make several movies of The Gambler. They tried to make a series out of that. Bless their hearts. But, yeah. Yeah, Coward of the County is a very dark song. Very,
I just totally took us off on a tangent, didn't I?
No, well, I started it. You know, I mentioned Kenny Rogers, and yeah, I asked for your thoughts on that. So yeah, I'll take the heat for that one. If you got heat, send it. 864-715-9446. Give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take your heat.
The heat is on? Is that Glenn Frey or Don Henley?
Glenn Frey.
It just occurred to me that one has a little bit of bass in it too. It's kind of a little bit of a faster pace.
It just depends on how complicated is it. Is it one that I can pick up? Like, one of my favorite songs ever is "Touch of Grey" by Grateful Dead, and the bass line in that one is just absolutely mind blowing. I don't know if I'll ever be able to play that, but I love it.
Mind-blowing good or mind-blowing bad? I was about to ask. It's a little too complicated for you.
It's extremely, extremely complicated.
Okay.
Just next time you hear the song, just listen to that bass line and where it goes, and it's...
Okay.
You know.
Maybe you need a little chemical enhancement to handle that. Maybe that was their secret.
maybe, I guess.
More than a little. yeah. for them.
And yeah, probably not the chemical enhancement you're thinking of. I'd probably need cocaine for that.
Oh, you the heart though. Oh.
I want to know if there's anybody out there that watched Sonic Boom besides us. I mean, among our listeners. Obviously, there are some people out there that watched it. I'm talking about among our listeners. I would love to hear from you because I want to talk about that show so bad I can't stand it.
We're waiting on Wheatley.
Yeah. Wheatley, watch the goddamn show, okay?
Sonic Boom.
You know Wheatley has a schedule.
Sonic Boom,
it's on Hulu Plus, which I believe you have access to. And it's
does that have anything to do with hedgehogs?
Yes, it absolutely does. It is that Sonic, yes. But this is okay. This is where we okay. get Sticks the Badger, and it's to me it is the best version of the Sonic characters there is in terms of entertainment value.
It's the most cartoony rather than like anime type, I think.
Yeah.
Like wacky cartoon. Whereas like the Saturday morning 90s one is like really a good sci-fi dystopia cartoon.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like more on the level of like the original Ninja Turtles. Maybe a little less. I don't know. Whatever it is that makes Ninja Turtles, like the streets of New York City being completely fucking empty all the time.
Now, for those of you following my my cartoon playlist on Saturday mornings, and if you don't know anything about that, there is a group on Facebook. It's a public group called It's Saturday Morning, Y'all. Yes, y'all, Y'ALL. It's Saturday Morning, Y'all, public group. There's some easy questions at the beginning just to keep the bots out. But I post a weekly playlist of Saturday morning cartoons so that when you get up on Saturday morning, you have cartoons to watch and you can relive. All you need to do is get your sugar cereal. You can relive your childhood. And, but I play the shows in order, in season order. And, we have a few that are about to end and I'm this close because y'all can see what I'm doing with my fingers out there in listener land. I'm this close to going to Sonic Underground, which that one, because we were talking about, you know, the difference between the Saturday morning show and Sonic Boom. Sonic Underground was this completely oddball creature that, like, Sonic has siblings and they're in a band, but it's that same gritty dystopian shit you got in the Saturday morning stuff, just a different storyline.
It's just three Urkels instead of one.
Yeah. Urkel voicing Sonic, his brother and sister. Oh, yeah. And it's fun.
Okay.
If you can get past the corny theme music, and I'll put the intro in the show notes. Boy, I'm really committing a lot to the show notes this week.
I mean, you can always cut that shit out.
True.
He trying to sound like Urkel, or did he have a different characteristic for his voice?
Well, Urkel was the voice of animated voice of Sonic for a while. He had the Saturday morning show. He had Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was the weekday show.
No, it's not the same. Like, he doesn't do his Urkel voice characters.
It's Jaleel White. I'm sorry. We call it Urkel Sonic because it's funny.
It is funny.
And what he does it well. Like, he actually, there's a difference between Sonic and his brother and his sister, and you believe it. You buy in. It's, if you can get past that corny theme music and the corny premise of, and don't get me started on the concept of prophecies. We might cover that since we need something to talk about.
Ooh.
But yeah, there's a prophecy and their mother is missing and they're chasing to try to find her. So the premise is not the most solid, but it is an entertaining show. Maurice LaMarche, huge presence in this version. He's one of the villains. And I'll just mention real quick my thing with prophecies. The characters in this show in particular, or at least one character, is going way out of their way and causing grief, real grief in people's lives, to bring about the fulfillment of this oddball prophecy. And that's the premise of the show. And I feel like I don't like shows that are based on prophecies.
If it's legitimately a prophecy, you shouldn't have to do anything specific for it to happen as well. Like, it's that's gonna happen. That's kind of, it's like in Doctor Who, they talk about fixed points in time. Like, Doctor Who can't save certain people, can't prevent certain historical events, even though certainly the Doctor would like to. And by the way, we might get fan engagement if anyone catches that I called him Doctor Who. Come at me, nerds. Come at me.
But if it's a true prophecy, as you say, the chances of it not happening are zero.
Yeah.
And I can see you maybe preparing for the inevitability of a prophecy. But this whole idea of we have to do X, Y, and Z or the prophecy won't come true. Can we let go of that in sci-fi, please?
You know what? Speaking truth and Ronald Reagan being the devil, should we talk about Billy Porter?
Yeah, you're more informed in that than I am, but yeah, we can definitely talk about that.
Because I've read one article that stabbed me in the heart and then followed up and watched an interview that like twisted the knife.
Yeah.
So, people may or may not know, for one thing, who Billy Porter is. Really, you don't know who Billy Porter is at this point?
Well, okay, you're aiming that as a particular person who looked at the title of this show and decided not to listen to this episode. No.
I mean, that particular person did know who Billy Porter was, but didn't know why I find him compelling and inspirational.
Billy Porter strikes me as somebody that you either absolutely know who he is or you have no freaking clue who he is. There's no kind of middle ground.
And which side of that aisle are you on, Eric?
Well, I absolutely know who he is now from seeing a lot of the Facebook posts. He was a very flamboyant dresser, I would say.
Well, he is a actor, producer, Broadway, film, television, like he is, he's an activist and he is a damn fine dresser. The last few years, he's made a lot of news, really like fucking the gender binary on the red carpets, which of course is fantastic. I think it was the Oscars that I first really noticed, because he was wearing a full-on ball gown, black velvet, but the top was a tuxedo. And really being able to say, like, there is nothing unmasculine about Billy Porter. You know, he's a gay man. He happens to be a black gay man. And just a beautiful, vibrant, positive, wonderful, joyful human being. Look up late night show interviews, and even when it's been during the pandemic and they haven't been in person, the chemistry he has and can create with the host is wonderful. He has recently come forward partly as process for his own healing, but also because the story arc for the show he's on that's called Poise, which is about the ballroom scenes and whatnot. And of course, you know, the 80s and 90s and what that meant to the LGBTQ community. He's in the last week or so come forward and said that he himself is HIV positive and got his diagnosis in 14 years ago, so 2007, and kept it hidden in part to not make others uncomfortable and also to protect his mom, who got a lot of flack in her people from her religious community, giving her trouble about him being gay, being, you know, like a big, big flamboyant gay man.
Where you were going with that.
yeah, big. And, you know, Broadway, like, I mean, you know, but that's who he is. And it was a couple months ago that he called his mom and finally broke the news to her. And it is really poignant how she basically was like, "You're my son. Don't you ever do that again. Don't keep something from me. I don't like it was hard at first, but like you didn't have to carry that alone." And, you know, he got a lot of peace and healing out of that. And I know there's a lot of people out there, whether their specific issues have anything to do with, you know, flying a rainbow flag or whatever, or if it's just something else in their life that they're hiding. I think that is so important and so poignant. And he is just the kind of human being that I think everyone can hope to be. Like, work on your own shit. Try to do good in the community. That's what it's all about. And look good doing it.
Yep. Yep. I'm trying to look better. That's an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inspiration. And I'm not afraid to admit that. I mean, look your best. I'm just saying. And it doesn't have to be what everybody else considers the best. Look your best.
Well, and your authenticity, mm-hmm. like, I mean, for whatever reason, our weird little species of apes wears clothes and does like hair and makeup, like that is a thing we do. Mm-hmm. So use it as that form of expression. Be comfortable. Be true to yourself.
Yes, indeed. I mean, personally, myself, and I mean, yes, I'm very much inspired because it takes a lot of courage to do that. It's a very vulnerable place to be. So I admire anybody that's willing to put themselves out there like that. I was just going to say, kind of tangential to all of that, I am the type of personality that cannot stand the thought of dying without trying as many things as possible. that's just the way I think. And there's a lot of things I want to try. And I get inspired by people who show the courage to not care what critics think, what society thinks, what tradition says. I'm trying to say something without saying it, and I'm not going to say it. So
I mean, tradition, especially that and I've read this. I don't know if anybody knows where it originates, but tradition being peer pressure from dead people, like I'm not going to take peer pressure from somebody standing in front of me unless I look at what they have to say and really internalize it and decide it's what I want to do. If you're dead, I'm really don't have any reason to do what you would have wanted me to do if it goes against what matters to me.
And I figure you'll let us know if you got a problem with it. Dead people.
Yeah. I mean, If you come talk to me, maybe we can meet in the middle.
Yeah, to all of our dead listeners out there, our number is 864-715-9446. And tell us what you think, as if we care.
You gonna back that up? Can you? Oh, you can't actually touch me. Your hand just goes through.
You are the man in the box. Sorry, that's terrible.
Like, if there's a good reason to do something the way it's been done before, great. If there's not, I'm not gonna, I don't care.
All right. Any other events that we can think of? Any topics? Any whatever? I think I can probably make a mishmash of an episode of what we've talked about today.
It's like a stew.
We've covered the cons, right?
Right. Con Carolinas. We're going to be there. Charlotte, North Carolina. It is June 4th through the 6th. At the University Place Hilton in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Tina and I will be there, concarolinas.org. And if you have trouble navigating their site like I did, then give us a call at 864-715-9446 and I'll give you some help with that.
But you won't pick up. You'll just like get the message and send them a message back.
Eric, you're asking about guests.
Do they have good guests lined up?
Let's see. Looking at the site right now, we have Bill Blair. If you've been to any cons, you've probably heard of Bill Blair. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most playing the most characters with prosthetic makeup. He's been on Star Trek. He's been in Star Wars. He's been in zombie movies. He's been in just about everything wearing, you know, prosthetics. Babylon 5, all of that. We have the great grand nephew of Bram Stoker. Dacre Stoker will be there again. We talked to him last year, if you listened to our, not last year, but the last time we were there 2 years ago. And, so he'll be there, talking about his books and his great, presumably his great, great uncle.
Yeah.
And, let's see, we have Jennifer Estep, if I'm saying that right, as the author guest of honor. We have Maurice Broaddus, who is, looks like, yeah, we have Maurice Broaddus. We have Sherilyn Lambeth. Our music guest is Mikey Mason, our Woo! Good friend, our very good friend, Mikey Mason.
Yay!
And, yeah, we're going to be front and center for both of his shows there. And let's see. I'm amazed at how many of our con folk do not go to this con. And it is several barrels of fun every year. I would so love it if our Moser friends and Wheatley and all them would just take a year and come with us to Con Carolinas. Cause it's not the huge, you know, balls out thing that Dragon Con is, but it's small, it's relaxing. You can pretty much do whatever you want and not have to worry about there being too much of a crowd. It's just a fun, relaxing weekend with all your geeky friends. We love it.
Oh, and the hotel is great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love the, I mean, we had the 2 years at the bigger one that was nice, but it's nice to be home at it's the Hilton at University Place, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. It is. Mm-hmm.
The little man-made lake and our ducks and geese.
We got married there.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. One of the many times we got married.
Right.
You got to keep getting married. It expires, right? Is that,
yep.
Is that how it works?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Con Carolinas. This also happens to be their 20th anniversary. What a year to have that land on.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Sorry, guys. But, yeah, and again, it's going to be a combination of virtual and live. So yeah, concarolinas.org. If you can't make it, definitely see what the virtual stuff is going to be. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. I'm sure they would too.
Nerd Bliss has arrived at Planet Trulak. Indeed, Tech Mate Braytak, Shell Tech Nemron, disengaging main engines, begin disembarkation protocol.
And there we are, my friends, episode 142 in the books. If you have any feedback on this or any other episode, you may give us a call on our call-in line. That is area code 864-715-9446. That number always goes to voicemail, or you can text that number as well. Depending on the content of your message, we may play it or read it on the show. Or you may leave a comment on our social media posts. We are on all the socials under the handle at NerdBlissPod. Or you may send us an email to nerdblisspod@gmail.com. All music used in this recording were used with the proper permissions and licensing. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta and is licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. Thank you once again for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.